It was the last class of a long winter day of senior year of high school when I, along with a couple of dozen members of the class of 1968, all of us seniors at Monsignor Bonner High School and Augustinian High School, I might mention, wondered which problem of democracy our teacher would have us study today. Mr. Richard Bully, his name was, an amazing teacher, and he engaged the class during what was to be proved to be an incredible year. Now, you need to know the philosophy of the school, Augustinian, was to know ourselves, to have an intelligent faith. Indeed, our rings would say, Novum Te, know yourself. The spirit of Augustine was imbued in every class, giving a sense of putting faith and reason together. And one of the classes, Problems of Democracy, How to Be Good Citizens with Intelligence and Follow Through and Responsibility as Americans, but also as Christians, raising questions, Mr. Bully would say. And so there we were, contemplating what would we do after high school graduation for our studies, for the church, but as for a nation as a whole. For it was the beginning of what would be called the late, great 1968. Some of you who are alive remember it well. So much that happened 50 years ago that created anxiety in ourselves, in our nation, in our world, that challenged the traditional structures of authority. It was the height of the cultural era, properly known as sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You remember those days? 1960, some of us don't remember those days. Some of the days, anyway. But 1968, whether it was a pivotal year, whether it was in the Catholic Church with the Pope Paul VI encyclical in July of that year, Humanae Vitae, which led to considerable controversies concerning the uses of contraception, or the mass exodus of priests and nuns. Where was the church going? And then there were the student demonstrations that challenged authority on the college campuses. Tragically, it was the year in which Martin Luther King and then later Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated, and the civil disturbances in our cities that resulted afterwards. But the series of tragedies seemed to begin on January 31st, 1968, 50 years ago this Tuesday, when the North Vietnamese launched what was to be called the Tet Offensive, which many historians called the turning point of the war. And it was this issue which flowed from the Tet Offensive that February day that Mr. Bully had us debate as a problem facing our American democracy that winter day so long ago. Mr. Bully was challenging us to use our reasons and intelligence to incorporate our faith perspective with frames for not just that problem, but for the entire year. He would challenge us, question, give us evidence, not just opinions, what we watched on television or heard in the radio. Give us evidence, as if we were budding lawyers, some of us would be, of the what, when, where, and the why of each problem, helping us to frame it with using our intelligence to define an issue, to distinguish, and so we would be able to develop a decision around whether the war or civil rights or the political candidates of that era. Gene McCarthy, Robert Kennedy, President Johnson resigned, or he said he would not run again. Richard Nixon, all those tensions. And we were privileged to frame it with the problems of democracy using our faith and reason, intelligence, to have that trust in God who uses us through our reason to develop responsible actions. Similarly, in Jesus' day, there was a sense of seeking which authority to believe and to trust. And in a certain sense, the onlookers to the miracles in Capernaum and elsewhere would debate the what, the when, the where, the why. Who is this new authority? What's it about? And so as tonight's first reading attests, Moses and the Mosaic Law was the key authority. This law being reinforced by the major Jewish prophets, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, down through the ages. That's where these listeners and onlookers turned to when they saw this new authority on their stage in Capernaum. For centuries before Jesus, the Jews would debate, would discuss the commandments and the prophetic writings of their day so as to navigate their lives and the times in which they lived. In the first reading, Moses assures the people, "The Lord your God will raise you up, a prophet like myself." Moses received the word from God, but this new prophet would be an authority greater than Moses. He would speak with the words of God. And so it is in this context we hear in tonight's gospel from Mark the issue of authority of Jesus. For the disciples of Jesus, he's just not a new prophet, or is he? Is he part of this new long line coming from Moses to Jeremiah or new John the Baptist? Who is this Jesus? Notice the lines. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." But Jesus was simply not a new prophet in the long lines of prophets, for he was the authority to listen to and trust. Jesus is being revealed as the highest prophet, the Word of God made flesh. As we will hear in the coming weeks, as Mark unfolds his gospel, Jesus was the authority, the Son of God. But Mark won't allow this to be fully revealed until Roman centurion at the foot of the cross proclaims, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And so I invite you to listen through these themes throughout the year as we hear from Mark, around the authority of Jesus as we travel through the liturgical year. But I also would like to suggest that the reading from Deuteronomy and Mark also offers us a perspective, not only on authority, perspectives also from history. The followers of Jesus brought in to their interpretation of their time, their knowledge of the history of their faith. And they wanted to know where was this authority taking them. In so many words and ways, it was a problem for them, a problem of faith and reason, similar to what Mr. Bully invited us, a problem of faith and reason as we face the issues of 1968. And like the problems of democracy class, we too, in our day, look for evidence, not just opinions on news or on Facebook. We are called as Christian citizens of this country and elsewhere to use our intelligence to go deeper into the issues we're facing and to see where the commitment is. Reflecting upon these readings for our current time in history, I found helpful the ways in which the issues and the questions were framed so long ago. Questions that led to commitments. Some of those men in that class. Three of them died in Vietnam. Many of us worked through those issues. Some served their country. Some worked out the issues in different ways. But it was an intelligent faith. Men and women today are facing those issues. Some sacrificed for our nation overseas. Each of us, each one of us, is called to be an active and engaged citizen, using our intelligence as those disciples of Jesus, as those ancient Jews, as every man and woman with called to be a Christian, using the reason we are given by God. And so, my brothers and sisters, we begin a series of anniversaries of 1968, It's a troublesome year, but I offer you one image. The year ended on Christmas Eve when men circled the moon, not landed, and they read from the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word that created the law and the tradition that we inherit. And the law and the Word is good. We are citizens of not just the country, not just our world, but really of a universe, guided by Christ, calling us to believe, to trust, to be intelligent men and women, to be citizens of our nations, but to be really disciples and citizens of Jesus the Christ. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray the ancient